All right, what's up, everybody? It is Monday, July the 17th. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new. We want to welcome all of our Facebook Live, Rumble Live, and YouTube Live audience. And of course, we welcome all of you guys on the rebroadcast of this, you guys on Apple and Spotify as well. We've got a great message lined up for you tonight. Before we get started, please, I would love for you to hit that like button, that share button, subscribe button, the push notification, all that so you can push this out so that more people can get this message out there on the algorithm on Facebook and Rumble and YouTube. So please, it only takes 1 second. It only takes about like one or two seconds to hit that like button, hit that share button so that you can get the message out there. So we want to welcome everybody tonight. Again, this is Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Tonight, I'm going to be sharing with you one of the most interesting messages that I've ever shared. I've never shared this message before. The title of this is absolutely intriguing. I'm sure a lot of people are trying to figure out what we're talking about, but I want to preach it's been a while since I've preached. We've done a lot of, information segments. We've informed you of the times and seasons of which we're in. This message is no different. It's going to shine a light literally on a epidemic that we have going on that I've noticed for a long time in the body of Christ. I want to preach for you the next 40 minutes or so on don't get comfortable with the cockroaches. Don't get comfortable with the cockroaches. Now, when we talk about cockroaches, I'm going to get a lot deeper in that on when I'm pull out some characteristics of cockroaches in just a moment. But before we get into that, one of the main characteristics of cockroaches is their environment in which they thrive in. Let me say that again. The environment in which cockroaches thrive in is darkness. I want to talk to you just for a moment about darkness. Then we're going to shift gears, talk about cockroaches. And I promise you, we're going to pull all this together tonight. Brother Ricky has not lost his mind. I promise you that. If you'll hang in there with me, I'm telling you that we're going to shine a spotlight on an epidemic in the body of Christ. By definition, darkness is commonly defined as the absence or the lack of light. Let me say that one more time. Darkness, by its most common definition, is the absence or the lack of light. It refers to the state or condition in which there is little or no visible illumination. In a literal sense, darkness occurs when light is no longer present or when it is blocked or obscured by an object or substance. I got to repeat that right there. In a literal sense, darkness occurs when light is not present or there is an absence of light or when light is being blocked or obscured or obstructed by something, an object or substance. Metaphorically speaking, darkness can also refer to a state of ignorance, confusion, or lack of understanding. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight and I give this message to you and I ask that you would use it for your glory. I ask that this message would shine a light into this epidemic in which we're seeing, where many in the body of Christ have been succumbed to darkness. They're becoming comfortable in the dark. They're becoming acquainted with darkness. Darkness has become their friend. It has become their ally. They have become comfortable in an environment of darkness. And Lord, I pray that this message tonight would bring forth the glory of God. It would shine a light into every believer that's listening to the sound of my voice. If they, by their own self-examination through the Holy Spirit, through this message tonight, if they recognize that they have become comfortable in darkness, I pray that this message would set them free and will give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. So we talked about darkness. Now I want to talk about, when I think about an animal or a species or something that loves the veil of darkness, when I was putting this message together, I thought about cockroaches. See, because many years ago, when I was growing up at a very young age, my family and I lived in poverty, and we lived in a neighborhood in which we had a neighbor. Now, we were blessed not to have a cockroach infestation, but we had to ward them off because we had a neighbor that was directly right beside us. This is a neighbor in which I played when I was a little boy. I used to play in the neighborhood with the older child and with his younger brother. So we were acquainted with, and we knew the family. We didn't hang out with them, but I did. My parents didn't hang out with their parents, but I did hang out with the two boys that lived there. So it was not uncommon for me to go over to their house. I hung out in their home. There's times I would sit around in their home, and they were very impoverished. They were dirty, and there would be the one thing I always stuck out to me, the thing that always stuck out above everything else, and to this day I can remember, is all of the cockroaches. Now, of course, when you're there during the day, you wouldn't see many of them. But at night, we would go over there at night and we would flip on a light in the kitchen or in the living room, and you would see hundreds of cockroaches just scurry across the floor. They would be in a bowl sitting on a cabinet that was filled with cereal that was half eaten. They would be on the dishes. They would be on the kitchen counter. They'd be on the carpet. They would be on the couch. It was just, to this day, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies thinking about it. But I remember this stuck out of my mind, and that was the thing that really repulsed me about cockroaches. To this day, listen, there's very few things that repulse me, and cockroaches is one of them. They're nasty, they're disgusting, they carry diseases. But let me talk about cockroaches for a minute, because I'm going to bring this home and bring this in relation to the epidemic that I'm seeing in the body of Christ. Cockroaches are most active during the night, and they prefer dark environments. Cockroaches have a natural aversion to light. Darkness provides them with a sense of security and allows them to navigate and forage more effectively. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this tonight. Darkness provides numerous hiding spots for cockroaches. It helps them avoid potential threats and predators. Cockroaches are scavengers and are constantly in search of food sources. They have a preference for dark and undisturbed areas to feed from. Now, I want you to keep all this in mind. And now I want to dig a little bit deeper, and I'm going to talk about well-known facts about cockroaches, and we're going to reel this into what I'm seeing. In fact, before I get into those facts, let me talk a little bit about darkness. Let me tell you what 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 says. Listen to what it says here. Now, he's talking to us, right? He's talking to the church. Listen, this message tonight is not for the sinner. This is not for the unregenerated. This is for the folks that call themselves believers. Okay. Listen to this. But you and I are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises, now listen to this, church, of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, I want to say that again. He called us out of darkness and called us into his marvelous light. We were once not a people, but we are now the people of God. We had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, when I read this, I'm left perplexed. I'm left confused and puzzled because I read this from the Word of God and I understand this. It doesn't take anyone with probably a fifth or sixth grade education to comprehend what the Lord is saying here. But how is it that when we get into real life, when we go into real life circumstances, when we get out here and I see what's going on in the body of Christ, why is it that in this hour, in this day, I see many people who call themselves Christian, call themselves believers, call themselves born again, call themselves chosen of God. They will tell you that they are those of the royal priesthood. They are those of the holy nation, a chosen of God. But yet there's no distinction between light and darkness. They're still operating in darkness, and they still love an environment of darkness. Oh, listen, I'm on the surface yet. I've still not even plowed deep into this yet. We got a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but are operating in darkness. This is what's cast the confusion on a lot of people looking from the outside onto the inside. This has become a stumbling block to our neighbors and our coworkers and our family members who we are continually trying to sow seed into, witness to, and trying to persuade to come into the body of Christ, yet they are looking from the outside in and they see no distinction between light and darkness. And listen, it's so bad that even the house of God has become dark. Oh, some of y'all don't want me to preach this the way I want to preach this. Why? Have you noticed the sanctuaries in this modern era have become darker and darker and darker? In fact, there's no longer windows. There's no longer light. We turn down the lights so dark into the sanctuary that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. I've been to churches where ushers have to go in and greeters and elders and deacons. New people are coming into the doors. And they're trying to show them into a seat and try to seat them in the sanctuary. And they have to have flashlights to guide them and lead them to get them into the sanctuary. Why have we become darker and darker? We are becoming accustomed to an environment of darkness. We're befriending darkness. We're yoking with darkness. And it perplexes me because you read verses like John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, where Jesus said, "It is a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going." Oh, we got a lot of people that don't know where they're going. They don't know the will of God. They don't know the purpose of God. They don't know the word of God. They're just coming in and punching the clock on Sunday morning and leaving. And they're wandering around and they have no real true relationship with God because they've got one foot in the light and one foot in the darkness. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So in other words, Jesus was saying, I am the light of the world and I am with you. But there will come a time when I will depart from this earth and you will become the lights. You will become the light of the earth. You will become a city that's set upon a hill. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm telling you, you read this book. God did not call us to dwell in darkness. He called us to expose darkness. He called us to shine the light in the midst of darkness. Let me get back to these cockroaches. Let me ask you a question. Are you comfortable with the cockroaches? Do you have a lot in common with the cockroaches? Let's just find out here. All right, let's talk about some facts about cockroaches. Number one, cockroaches are resilient. Did you know that a cockroach can live for an entire week without its head on its body? This is creepy, it's weird, and it's disturbing. Let me say that again. A cockroach can live 7 days with no head. Listen, we got a lot of folks in the body of Christ that have no desire for any federal headship of a church leadership or accountability. Oh, you were trying to figure out how Brother Ricky was going to take this and make this applicable to you. Listen, we got a lot of Lone Ranger Christians. They don't want any accountability. Oh, come on. They've learned to adapt and thrive in darkness with no accountability, no one to reprove them, no one to rebuke them, no one to correct them, and no one to teach them. They're unteachable. They're unreprovable. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to be corrected, and they don't want any accountability. So instead of finding a church body or sitting under a leadership or a pastor or a shepherd that loves them and wants to guide them, they like going to a quote unquote church where it's a church that likes to operate in darkness. There's no accountability. There's no one there that's going to hold them accountable. If they miss service, nobody's going to call them. Nobody's going to check on them. Nobody's going to come to the door and ask if they're okay. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, some of y'all, this right here makes you nervous because you've never experienced this. And you say, well, that's a little bit creepy. No, it's the New Testament church. The New Testament church operated in something that was called fellowship. And in Greek, it's koinonia. It means they had all things in common. They knew one another personally and intimately. To the point, they knew one another's names. They knew one another's strengths. They knew one another's weaknesses. They knew what they were going through. They knew their ups, their downs, their storms. They knew that they could pray with one another, help another one, encourage one another. If there was a family that was in need, the others would supply, and therefore, and vice versa. But we don't understand this today because we've come to the mega church era, where instead of going out, we go up. We build bigger and better. And it, all the while, on the outside, it looks glamorous. It looks prestige. It looks prestigious. It looks attractive. But on the inside, it's becoming darker and darker and darker. So just like a cockroach, it can live for an amazing amount of time with no head attached to its shoulders. We've got a lot of believers that have gone so long without no shepherd, no accountability, no one reproving them, correcting them, or holding them accountable on any facet whatsoever, that they have become accustomed to, come on, watch this, doing whatever they desire to do. Oh, the Bible says the time would come when every man would do what is right in his own eyes. Let me give you another fact here. Cockroaches are small in size, unless you go to Florida. I'm just saying, they're not very small there, but typically cockroaches are small, and they're called pest. It's where we get the root word. It's where we get the word pestilence in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. These are pests that can easily hide in cracks and crevices. Uh-oh, watch out. Listen, those that love to fellowship with darkness, they love it because they will gravitate towards places and environments where they can easily hide and blend in, watch this, to prevent from being exposed to too much light. Oh, listen, let me just plow on this for a moment. I cannot tell you, I know multitudes of believers that were on fire, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, devil stomping, spirit filled. They had I'm telling you, they were a burning torch for the Lord God. They were on fire for God. And eventually, they began to play around with darkness. They took a little bit of darkness here. They would gauge and a little bit of darkness there. They would begin to do things, come on, in darkness that was slowly pulling them from the light. And eventually, instead of repenting, and instead of getting into environments where there's more light and there's more fire, there's more glory, there's more presence, there's the more of the word, more prayer, instead of gravitating towards that, instead they begin to search out churches that thrived in lukewarm, passive, dark environments, where there is no preaching of the Holy Ghost. There's no signs, wonders, miracles. There's no encounters with God. There's no one getting healing. There's no one getting delivered. There's no one getting set free. But watch this. But they love it. They love this environment because they can blend in. They can hide in the cracks and the crevices behind the scenes, out of sight, out of mind. There's no accountability. There's no one to convict them. Because listen, if you think the sanctuary is that dark, then you have to examine what's coming behind the pulpit. Now listen, I want to say this. I've been to churches, and I know some personally, that even though they have the sanctuaries dark, this is not the case for them, that behind the pulpit comes a message of darkness. Because I don't want to paint a broad brush and pull everybody in the same category with this, because that's just not the case. But I'm telling you, we have to be observant. What is coming out from behind the pulpits? Many times what comes from the pulpit or the headship of the church reflects the liking of the congregation, because it's supply and demand. If people, listen, people are going to gravitate towards what they enjoy. If they enjoy, oh, now can I take this a little bit deeper? If they enjoy darkness, they enjoy sin, they enjoy iniquity, they enjoy transgressions, they enjoy lukewarm living, they enjoy partaking of the unfruitful works of darkness. If they enjoy this, they are going to naturally gravitate towards an environment which does not expose their deeds, but caters to their deeds. Oh, some of y'all, I know, listen, some of y'all think I've lost my mind, but let me show you the scriptures. Let's go to John 3:16. John 3:16. If you don't know this verse, listen, we need to pray for you, because everybody should know this verse. Our kids know these verses. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's keep reading. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Are you still with me, church? Let's read verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Now watch what it says here. And men loved darkness rather than light. Everybody read this with me. Men loved darkness rather than light. Why do they love it, Brother Ricky? Because, look at what it says here, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Wow. Now, contextually speaking here, he's talking about the world, the unregenerated. The heathens, the unsaved. But guys, we have got goats and tares and, can I say, cockroaches in the body of Christ, who by name they profess God. By name they profess to be sons and daughters. By name they profess to be sons of light. But you pray and tell me, why is it when somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost and on fire for God and actually believes what this word says comes into their presence, comes into their proximity, or you bring them into an environment where the fullness of the gospel is being preached, where the Spirit of God is moving, where there is an atmosphere of deliverance and breakthrough, devils being cast out, the sick being healed, people being saved, and it makes people squeamish. You tell me, pray and tell me, if these are people that are professed believers, why are they so uncomfortable around the power and the glory of God? Remember, Paul said the time would come when men would have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the very power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because, listen, they want just enough light. Just enough light to make them warm and fuzzy, make them feel good about themselves, make them, come on, they want a God that gives them fire insurance to keep them out of hell. They want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. But come on, but Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Oh, come on, somebody. He's not just your Savior, but He wants to be your Lord. He said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and do that? And He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And you go study iniquity. Iniquity is an act that's performed in darkness. In secret. Can I be real here for a moment? I don't really care if you want me to or not, because I'm going to anyway, but I'm just saying, listen, this is the one thing that of all the things that grieves me is this right here. I'm telling you, I know it's not healthy to dwell on the past, but I'm telling you, 20 years ago, 23 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, it was not that difficult to go into places like rural Kentucky, rural West Virginia, places in Indiana, even in places in Florida, places in the Southern Bible Belt vicinity, where you could find revival services on any given weekend. And I'm talking about Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled revival services where you come in and you get wrecked by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, some of you are squeamish for me just talking about this. Why? Because you become so accustomed to darkness. But we're going to set some people today. We're going to set some people free today by the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray that the light of God's word shines unto the darkness and exposes this nonsense. And I've said this before. Listen, I refuse to compromise. I don't care if I have to search out 100 churches. I'm not going to settle and put my roots into a church that is comfortable with apathy and complacency and lukewarm darkness. Let me move on to the next fact. Watch this. Cockroaches are known for irregular feeding habits. They are omnivorous scavengers and will consume any food source available, and they prefer to eat in the cover of darkness. Listen, you know why a lot of people, you know why they love darkness? You know why they like the secret? And we're not talking about the secret place in Psalm 91 here either. I'm talking about the stealth of darkness here. You know why a lot of people like the stealth of darkness? It's because they are consuming things in the veil of darkness that they have no business consuming in the light of day. Oh, let me say that again. They're consuming and digesting things in the stealth of darkness that they have no business of consuming in the light of day. They are doing and partaking and digesting of things that they would be ashamed to in the light of the public arena. Listen, it's no secret. People that fall into all kinds of addictions, whether it be pornography, whether it be drug addiction, whether it be alcohol, whether it be pharmakia, all of these things, they thrive and they operate in the stealth of darkness. When there's no one looking, no one's around, everyone's asleep, there's no accountability. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So listen, if you people that love to hold on to their habit of getting drunk are going to gravitate towards places that don't preach against it. Oh, come on. Those who want to hold to smoking their marijuana and doing their drugs are going to gravitate towards churches and places of faith wherein which these things are not exposed, but they're condoned. Oh, people that love to live in adultery and they don't want to repent of it, they want to live in their sexual immorality, they want to live in their homosexuality, they're going to go to a church that affirms it and not exposes it. So they love to be in dark places because it is an environment where they can, come on, they have a buffet spread of anything and everything that they can indulge into with their flesh. Look what Paul said to the church of Ephesus here. This is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness. Who's he speaking to? The church. He's speaking to us. You were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. So what does that require of us, Brother Ricky? Well, listen to what he says. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Good gosh, man. How much more clear do you need it? Listen to what he says. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, in the darkness. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. Oh, some of y'all need to arise, wake up, and get out of some dead, dry, dark churches. Churches that don't preach the light. They don't preach the Spirit of God. They don't preach the fullness of God. They don't preach the power of the Holy Ghost. If you are in a church where there is no freedom, no liberation, no deliverance, no chains being broken, no one's being set free, no devils being cast out, the sick are not being healed, come on, the gospel is not being preached, there's not altar calls to give for lives to be transformed, people to repent of their sins, if they're not preaching the blood, preaching the cross, but instead, it looks no different than the world. There's no conviction, no repentance, no transformation, no deliverance. None of this stuff is going on. It's just a bunch of dried up religious people coming and punching the clock and leaving no different the same way they came in. And I say, no, thank you. No, thank you. Why would I waste my time coming to a dry, dead mortuary knowing God ain't going to show up because he hasn't been able to show up in years because they won't even let him show up because they're so rooted in their programs and protocol that Jesus is outside knocking on the door trying to get in. But they love their darkness. And look, I find it amazing when preachers come out and they preach against the very things that God's word calls an abomination and we're considered to be radical. Why? Because we're not conforming to darkness, but we're exposing it instead. Listen, those who are conformed to the darkness, they're not being censored. They're not being shut down. They're not being persecuted. You know who's being censored, shut down, and persecuted? Those who expose the evil works of darkness. Why do you think John the Baptist was in prison and ultimately beheaded because he was exposing the unfruitful works of darkness? The sad commentary of this is he looked at the religious people of his day and he called them vipers. Jesus called them dead man's bones. He called them sepulchers full of dead man's bones. Both John and Jesus were considered to be radical. Both of these men let their light shine among the men and among the darkness, and they expose the evil works and evil deeds of their day. And both men were persecuted because of it. And here's the crazy part. People don't want to hear this, but we are called to be the city set upon a hill. In other words, again, I showed you that in the book of John. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and the light will be here and it will remain until it's taken. And then the baton is passed to you and I. But let me ask you something, friend. Have you become acquainted with, accustomed to, and comfortable with the cockroaches? Colossians 1:13, 14 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Even in 1 Thessalonians, Paul told the church of Thessalonica concerning the coming of the Lord and the times and seasons of it. He said in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, you are not in darkness. Therefore, listen to what he says. You are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. Verse 5, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, verse 6, let us not sleep as others do, and let us watch and be sober. Now, listen, I'm gonna bring this thing home. It's time to land this plane, and we're going to make this applicable to you. This is going to require something of you today. We're going to bring the prophetic element to this. And that's where I start right here in 1 Thessalonians. I'm already on my descent right here to land this plane. Let's bring this into the end time. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that the coming of the Lord should not catch believers who are walking in the light off guard, but it will become a snare to those who are walking in darkness. So you don't think this thing's serious? You think God's playing games about this? You think he was joking around when he said, I wish you either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, you make me want to vomit you out of my mouth? You think he was joking around when he told one of the churches of Asia to repent and come back to your first love and do your first works? Listen, this is going to require two things for you today. This is the altar call here today on this podcast. I know people, it's kind of weird, isn't it? You probably don't hear podcasting doing altar calls. How many podcasts actually lead people to repentance? But listen, I want to reach some people that call themselves Christians, and you're watching this, but you know, your family knows, and the Lord knows that you are comfortable with the cockroaches. You're becoming accustomed to the darkness. You'll go to church as long as the church don't actually become the church. Oh, what are you talking about, Brother Ricky? I'm talking about this modern, westernized church that we call church today looks nothing like the church of the New Testament. But anytime, and that's why people are comfortable with this. It's conformed to so much darkness that it's synthetic, it's plastic, it's fake, it's counterfeit. There's no power, there's no authority. So anytime, listen, when people step into a real church of believers, a real ecclesia of believers who is actually operating in what the New Testament tells us, operating in the power of the Holy Ghost, where there's actually demons being manifest, people set free, people being delivered, people being healed, miracles happening, then this is considered to be radical. This makes you uncomfortable. If that's you today, if I'm talking to you today, I'm going to give you, listen, we're going to bring this in two different angles. Okay, there's two things you need to do. Number one, the last thing I'm going to tell you to do, I'm going to share with you in just a minute, and I'm going to bring it back to the cockroaches. But the first thing is, some of you, the reason why you can't completely get out of the darkness is because you're in relationships with someone who is more comfortable in the darkness than they are in the light. See, this is why Paul addressed the church of Corinth in his second epistle in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14 and 18. And he warned the church to not be yoked together with unbelievers. Now look, we're not just talking about unbelievers. I'm telling you, according to Revelation, a lukewarm Christian is worse than an unbeliever. Oh, you don't want me to preach this harder than this. Listen, Jesus said it in the book of Hebrews. He said it would have been better that he had not known the truth than know the truth and turn from it. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about that. So this is beyond, this is worse than being yoked with an unbeliever. It's being yoked with a lukewarm, passive, double-minded, half foot in the world, half foot in the church, half foot in the kingdom of hell, half foot in the kingdom of God, loves dwelling in darkness like the cockroaches. They like being hidden in the cracks. They like being in the corner. They like out of sight, out of mind. They'll go to church as long as the church ain't exposing their evil deeds and their unfruitful deeds of darkness. But you let a revival meeting fall in. You let the power of God show up. You let the Holy Ghost start breaking out and watch where those folks end up going. Just like the cockroaches, when you come into the home and you flip on a light, they all scatter and they run for the crevices, run for the cracks, run for the holes, and run back into the darkness of the night. He says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness and lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Well, Brother Ricky, I love them. I get it. When God saved me 23 years ago, I was yoked with a handful of people that I called my family. They were closer to me than my own flesh and blood. These were people that I lived with, that I lived life with. I celebrated the good, the bad, and the ugly with. They were there in the mountains. They were in the valleys. They were there for me, but they didn't know the Lord. They were operating in darkness. So the first thing that God called me to do that I had to be obedient in was to separate myself from them. So I've been where you've been. So for you to tell me, well, Brother Ricky, you don't understand, because I love these people. I love my friend. I love my boyfriend. I love my girlfriend. This is my best friend. This is my best girlfriend. This is like a brother to me, et cetera, et cetera. I get it. But listen, friend, we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about your walk with God here. We're talking about your victory here. We're talking about your breakthrough here. So in verse 17, he says, therefore, come out from among them. You got to come out of darkness and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. I will be your father unto you. You'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, you either trust God or you don't. I know it's painful to lose some friends, but can I tell you something? I have gained a whole lot more friends when I was obedient to God and left the darkness and went into the light. Not to say I don't care about them. And if they called me up today and they needed something, if one of them was hurt or in danger or of a necessity, I would be there to help them. I'm not saying you got to be cold-hearted and just cut them off. I'm saying, but you can't be yoked with them. So this is, listen, for this group of people, I don't know who this is for, but there's one group here that the reason why you're comfortable with the cockroaches per se is because this is all you've ever known. Yes, God has brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You're born again. Yes, you're saved. But you're still partaking of things and still fellowshipping with people that are still in darkness. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't see the big deal. Because after all, is it really a salvation thing? Well, friend, let me tell you this. I don't want to play with this. You know, the Bible says, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. But I will tell you this. I told you I was going to talk about the end times aspect of this and the eschatology side to this. Again, when you go to Thessalonians, it appears here that those who are still in darkness, we have to go back to, remember, the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica were believers. Because I'm going to get this kickback. People say, well, these are unbelievers. No, these were believers. He says, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you don't call an unbeliever a brethren. He's talking to believers. And he tells them, he says that day will come. He said there's going to be signs of it. When they say peace and safety, destruction will come. He said, but you are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. And again, when you go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 21, Jesus is talking to the church. He's talking to the believers here. He's talking to the apostles. When they ask him, what will be the signs of your coming? We got to remember, context is everything. He's speaking to the apostles and he tells them, he goes through all these signs of the coming of the Lord. And in verse 34, he tells them to take heed, lest their hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. We've covered a whole podcast on that for 45 minutes to an hour. So I encourage you to go listen to that. But these are three strongholds. And I talked about this, three strongholds that could cause you to miss the coming of the Lord. He says, beware lest your hearts be weighed down with these carousing, drunkenness, and cares of life, that the day of the Lord come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare upon all those who dwell on the earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. I'm telling you today that we could sit here and argue about whether this is a salvation issue. Now, that's not what I want to argue with you about. But why take the chance, friend? Why take the chance, beloved? Come completely out of darkness and into his marvelous light. If that means we've got to cut some strings that are attached to us, we're going to have to say goodbye to some folks. We're going to have to cut off some relationships. We love them. We appreciate them. We will do anything for them. If they need us, we'll be there. But we can't be, we ain't going to be hanging out with them on Friday night. Come on, living like the world. Come on, drinking it up like the world, smoking it up like the world, talking like the world, and acting like the world. Come on, it's time for God's church to be God's church. Now, let me give you one more remedy. Some of y'all need to take heed to that, and you're going to do that, and watch God set you free. But let me give you one more principle. I remember, let me go back to my childhood. When I remember that the roach infestation of my neighbors to my parents got so bad. There were so many cockroaches. Guys, I'm telling you, this was something like out of a horror movie. Now look, the only reason why I know about horror movies, because I watched them when I was a little boy, because my parents were all into that. I watched all of them. I watched all the Friday the 13th, the Nightmare on Elm Streets, the Halloweens, all that nonsense. And let me tell you this. Let me give you a little word of advice. Don't expose your children to that garbage, because it introduces a spirit of fear right into their lives. Come on, that was an extra bonus right there. But anyway, there was so many roaches that was infested in this home that they were pouring out of the home and they were making their way over to our house. So we had to constantly spray the barriers of our home to try to prevent them from coming into our home. And my mom was constantly cleaning with bleach and cleaning with vinegar and everything else, trying to repel them. So it got so bad. Watch this. Oh, I'm going somewhere right here with this to close this. It got so bad. I'll never forget this. When I was a little boy, I was probably 8 years old. And then, I remember this because I'd never seen anything like this before. So I remember one day I went over to their home and they were closing all the windows. This was in the summer. They had all the windows closed. They had plastic film on the outside of their windows, like all around, taped around their house, all over, around the door, the hinges, the seals, underneath the door, above the door, around the door, around the windows, around the seal, everything. And I said, "What in the world are you doing?" And they said, "We're going to bomb the house." And I said, "What?" I didn't know any better. I didn't know what this meant. I was a little boy. And they began to explain to me. See, I don't even know if they do this anymore, to be honest with you. But the roach infestation became so bad that they had to take these canisters. It was made by Raid. And you put them out throughout the house. In this room, that room, this room, that room. You close all the doors. You tape them up. You make sure all the air passages are sealed. Everybody has to get out of the home. And you set off these bombs. And it fills the entire atmosphere with a toxic cloud that is supposed to kill every cockroach in the building. Oh, when I thought about this, I said, wow, think about it, church. Sometimes, oh, listen to me. If you recognize today that you've got some darkness in you, you've got some desires in you that make you comfortable in darkness. Maybe it's some habits. Maybe it's some addictions. Maybe it's I talked about horror movies and thrillers and all this nonsense. Maybe you've got a love affair with the evil deeds of darkness and you're ashamed of this stuff, but it's almost like your flesh gravitates towards this. Well, listen, sometimes you know what you got to do? You got to go into your secret place. You got to close the door behind you. If you have to, you got to close the windows, shut off the phones, shut down your distractions, put up a do not disturb sign on the door, and begin to pray the fire of the Holy Ghost down. You got to pray until the glory shows up, because watch this, the more light that shows up, the more glory of God that shows up and fills the room and fills the house where you're at, it dispels the darkness, it dispels evil, and it crucifies the flesh and puts it in subjection to the glory of God. Romans chapter 12 says, "I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Come on, who is willing to go to the altar today and say, "God, I recognize by the Holy Spirit today that I have become comfortable with the cockroaches. I've become comfortable with the evil works of darkness and the deeds of darkness." It may not be something major. It may be something here. It may be something there. But Paul said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Come on, let us all pray right now. Come together with Brother Ricky in agreement. The Bible says, "If any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done." We're going to pray right now, but some of you, it's going to take more than just me praying and agreeing with you. You're going to have to get off this podcast. You're going to have to get off this broadcast, and you're going to have to do what some men of God have done that I've read about in times past. You're going to have to get in your closet. You're going to have to get into a room. You're going to have to get into your secret place. Shut off all these distractions. Shut off the phone. Shut off everything. Begin to earnestly seek the Lord. Come on, one man of God, locked himself into a closet, told his wife, I'm going to lock the door. I do not want you to disturb me because I will come out when I'm ready to come out. And what he did, he locked himself into a closet. He had just a little bit of light in there, enough to write down on a piece of notebook paper. And when he was in that secret place, he began to seek the Lord and ask the Lord, say, God, I want you to show me those things in my life that are not pleasing in your sight, that I may rid them so that you can use me for the fullness of your glory. And God showed up and began to write things. This man of God began to write things down on this piece of paper, on this notebook pad. Listen, they were so intimate and detailed that he was not even permitted to show his own wife because he was so ashamed of it. Oh, come on. Can we get just real? Can we get raw and let the Holy Spirit begin to clean, come on, drive out the darkness. He said, well, Brother Ricky, I've been saved and born again. There is no darkness in me. Listen, your spirit man has been renewed, but I'm telling you, in your flesh, Paul said, in my flesh, there is no good thing. You can still have habits. You can still have addictions. You can still have desires. You can still have strongholds, and even demons can come and attach themselves through oppression. I didn't say possession. I said oppression through your flesh, your mind, your will, your emotions. So come on, somebody. It's time to get out of darkness and get into his marvelous light. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that I've delivered this message as you have desired for me to do so. I pray now that, Lord, this word would not go forth, Lord, in elegance of speech and articulation of speech, but it would come in demonstration of power and glory and signs and wonders. I pray that as this word goes forth, it would not return void, but God, that those on the other end of this microphone, the other end of this video, that they would begin, first of all, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would begin to shine a light onto their life. Right now, come on, guys, I believe this. If you will lift up your hands, if you'll be responsive to this right now, I believe the Holy Ghost is going to begin to reveal elements of darkness. He's going to show you some dark things in your life that maybe you overlooked. Maybe you thought they were not a big deal. Maybe you thought you could just sweep under the rug. But come on, God has something better for you. God is willing and he desires that you be set free in Jesus' name. He's revealing those things to you. And if you'll begin to write those things down, make note of those things, go into your secret place and ask God to deliver you from those things. Watch God move on your behalf in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that it happen even now, God. Lord, even in my own life, God, I thank you, Lord, that you are revealing those things. You're making known to these things. You're shining a light unto those things, Lord, that I can repent of these things, renounce these things, and turn from these things so that I can be an effective witness and be light and be salt in this dark hour in Jesus' name. How can we let our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven if our light has been snuffed out because we've become comfortable in the darkness? And Lord, whoever this is for today, that they realize that the thing, the anchor, the chain, the shackle, the stronghold that is holding them back from walking in the fullness of the light of God is a relationship. I pray that, Father, that they would be strengthened and that you would give them the grace they need to break that stronghold, break that shackle, break that chain, and that they would sever that relationship and they would no longer be yoked with darkness, but they would come out of darkness. They would come out and be separate, says the Lord, so that they can walk as sons and daughters as you have created us to walk in Jesus' name. Come on, all God's people said amen and amen. Come on, you receive this word today. Listen, again, I know it's different. I know some of y'all love the revelatory information that we give you, but sometimes we just got to preach the word. We got to exhort people. We've got to edify people. We've got to equip people. We've got to get people discipled. Excuse me. We got to get people discipled in the word of the Lord. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We pray that this message has been a great blessing to you. Listen, if you know somebody that can benefit from this message, share it with them. The best way you can do that, listen, is download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Hit yes to push notifications once you download it, and you're going to be set to go. That's going to be where all of our podcasts are. That's going to be all of our headlines, our viewpoint segments. All that's going to be right there so that you can be blessed and informed and keep up with our ministry. As always, guys, if this ministry is a source of blessing to you, revelation, equipping, encouragement, information, all of the above, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You could do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, all the way in the bottom, hit the donate button, or you can give by check or money order on your screen, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, we're going to sign off for today, guys. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for all of our partners, your prayers, your intercessions. Guys, I cannot stress enough the gratitude that I have of all your prayers for me. For you guys know that I've been going through another season of stomach infirmities, and it is getting better. To God be the glory. Week after week, it's getting better and better. So I praise God. I thank God for that. And I thank God for your prayers. And this time, I've asked the Lord, we are going to set these disciplinary measures in place so that we do not repeat our folly. Come on, somebody, in Jesus' name. So we love you guys. God bless you. Listen, we got a great week lined up. We're just getting started. We'll be back here, Lord willing, tomorrow night on the 18th of July, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.